You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
It's time for our regular catch-up with Matt Stringer, the Chief Executive at RNIB. Matt, thank you very much for joining us.
Hello, Alan. Good to speak after Easter.
Indeed. Yeah, it's the weekend flew in and here we are back once again. Now, we are going to talk about sort of fundraising news a little bit later and voting as well, because we've got the English elections coming up shortly. But let's start, first of all, with the DCC. This is the charity group that RNIB is part of.
We work within a couple of groups, a vision partnership with our good friends in Guide Dogs, Thomas Poppleton Trust, the Visionary Group, etc. And we also sit within a disability charity consortium, which is the other big charity supporting disabled people. So like Scope, Sense, RNID, Leonard Cheshire, Mencap, etc. So we're just talking to the DWP at the moment around welfare and around employment. And one of the things we've been pushing hard on is to try and get the DWP to recognise that a lot of the charities in the DCC group, of which we're one in the vanguard, have got great credentials when it comes to supporting and helping blind and partially sighted people into work. Last year, we either helped stay in work or got employment for about 1,500 people. And some of the other charities have similar really good track records. And so we're trying to engage the DWP on this, sort of in the general thrust of getting more people back working. And the good news is that we've got a meeting on Friday and we've been engaging with Charlie Mayfield's team. And Charlie Mayfield's the ex-boss of sort of John Lewis and Waitrose, who the government has brought in to sort of run this review into how to get more people into work. He's published an interim report a few weeks ago, set out the scene really well, and clearly he's working on his findings at the moment. So his team are very keen to engage with us. We've had some contact in the last 10 days or so. And actually what we'll be doing is going in with a proposal to take forward with their support to get this event off the ground, whereby we can bring together at some point in the early summer, not only the politicians and Charlie Mayfield's team, but a lot of the charities who've got this great credentials in helping people into work or supporting people in work, and a lot of businesses and employer federations, you know, from large to small to corporates, to really get a really strong conversation going about how, you know, what are the challenges at the moment and how can we help get more disabled people into work. So, you know, really pleased with that. It's really coming along quite well. So that's a really good development, Alan, in the last couple of weeks.
And getting the corporates involved, the business sector as well, because people out there want to work, you know, for people with disabilities. It's not only the want and the desire to get back into work, it's of employers, I see attitudes and also things like access to work being fit for purpose to do it. So there's more than just a couple of pieces of the jigsaw that have to slot in here to help more people into work, which is at the end of the day what they and others want.
Yeah, that's right. And I think you know, my background is working in the commercial sector. And I know that a lot of people working in all sectors, but, you know, you're under pressure to deliver results and satisfy shareholders, bothered about sales and bothered about the bottom line, market share, all those sort of concepts. And I think what many organisations don't do at any given day is come in and have a think about how to diversify the workforce and what it's going to take to bring talented individuals in that they're not quite set up to employ at that stage. And yet when you do get employers thinking about it, and we've signed up another 37 employers last year to our visibly better employer standards, when you get people really understanding what it means to recruit, induct, support and sustain blind and partially sighted people in a hybrid working model, maybe in the office, some at home, you know, that's another post-COVID dimension, of course, we have to think about using technology and then actually through thriving, shattering assumptions and through osmosis, spreading that awareness of what disabled people can bring to the workplace. So it's great. And, you know, we've talked about Tesco's quite a lot as being a great example of an organisation, not the only one, but they're probably the biggest who really cracked this recently. And get a few more Tesco's going at the top end and some of the smaller, you know, small, medium enterprises going, you probably think it's quite challenging in terms of resources. Then you can start to see how you can get this snowball in terms of generating more employment opportunities. And at the moment, there's a zeitgeist in the nation with the government's mantra of economic growth, with pressures on budgets, the need to get, you know, welfare budgets down, as we talked about before. But the corollary of that is getting those people into employment. So, you know, they're coming off welfare and actually starting to earn a wage.
More to come in the coming weeks and months, no doubt, on that one big topic. Well, we talked a little bit about politics in there, Matt, and the local elections are coming up in England on May the 1st. And the topic of accessible voting has come up again. And, you know, there are ways and means for people who are blind or partially sighted to do this, but there's still a lot to do to make that the norm.
Yeah, there is. I mean, we've been pushing hard to the extent that I got a letter a couple of weeks ago from some electoral officials being a little what's the right word, frustrated maybe at the way we were pushing this hard in the run into the elections and maybe not giving them enough time to get ready. But we would argue we've been pushing this point for years. So if we're not pushing, sort of who is? So I'm glad we were absolutely respectful of all the electoral officials. They're absolutely vital to getting this done. And Electoral Commission and working with the Home Office on this one. So we've got some important partners that we need to obviously keep good relationships with, but we're right to push. And the fact they're writing to me suggests they've noticed that we're pushing, which is great. And this builds out the back of, you know, all the turned out reports we've ever done over the last few years, which has commented on some of the challenges, but also some of the improvements that have been built regionally into accessible voting. Yeah, you mentioned local elections in England on May the 1st, and I think some interesting results will come through from those elections, actually. But, you know, we'll only see a bit more improvement, actually, in terms of the accessibility. And whilst it's another year away in 2026, you know, it's great that our team in Wales have been able to work with the Senedd to actually be able to put in place a promise that we'll have a fully accessible voting process in the Welsh elections with the Senedd in 2026. So the wheel is only turning in one direction in making this more and more accessible. And I think May the 1st will prove in England it's a bit more accessible, but won't be perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I think Wales is actually a bit of a game changer next year, where you can say a whole country, I know it's 3.5 million people, but a whole country's been able to pull it off. So some exciting developments coming up, Alan, I think, starting with May the 1st in England.
Yeah, and we'll look forward to the findings as well as to how people found that voting experience. Let's finish off, Matt, with some fundraising news. The London Marathon obviously plays a huge part in RNIB fundraising and awareness as well. More people running in the marathon and more people we're looking for as well for the cheer squads to come on and support everyone. So it's a big day in the calendar.
Thank you to all the people that fundraise for us throughout the year, doing small events, big events, different regional runs and half marathons and marathons and jumping out of planes and doing cake sales. It's all enormously appreciated by me and the team here. You know, we wouldn't be here without the fundraising income we get from a variety of sources. London Marathon is probably the most high profile, biggest marathon in the UK, one of the big ones in the world, along with Berlin and Paris and Boston and some of those places, growing number of participants and obviously massively important fundraising opportunity for all charities. We're not different from that. So we've got about 70 odd runners this time. I think I was there last year cheering people on. I can't actually make it this weekend, but we'll be watching out. I've got one of my executive team running here, I'm sponsored, so I've got the skin in the game there. And I've done it three times in the past, so I know the effort that goes into training for it. And the challenge on the day is pretty painful, but going around London is great. The crowds are fabulous and brilliant reception from people in pubs and standing on the pavements and bands playing and people dishing out jelly babies and oranges and all those sorts of things. It's the most fabulous experience. I know the team who are running for us on Sunday will have a great time and get enormous support from the crowds generally. And big thank you to all those people turning out to support the RNIB at the couple of stations we have around the course where you can be an RNIB cheerleader and supporter on the day, which I know the team's really welcome. I was doing the one just the other side of Tower Bridge last year. I know we gave a lift to all the RNIB runners that came past in their purple vests. So yeah, great event, Alan, really important fundraiser and just fantastic that 70 people want to turn out and support the RNIB, whether participating or supporting from the crowd. Let's see how we go on the weather on Sunday, but great event and thank you again to all the people taking part for the RNIB.
Absolutely. Whether you're running or whether you're cheering, a big thank you. Now, if you'd like to find out more about RNIB, do have a look at the website. It's rnib.org.uk. You can call the helpline on 0303 123 9999, and if you're an Amazon Echo device, just ask Lady A to call RNIB's helpline. Matt, another one in the can. Thanks for joining us. We'll speak again next week on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks, Alan. My pleasure. Look forward to speaking next week. Okay.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.